This meeting is now being recorded.
All right, welcome all to the public meeting of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee Funding Methodology Subcommittee. We had a non-public meeting this morning for educational purposes only. No action items were considered or discussed beyond the educational aspects of the material. We have a sign-in sheet so that we are clear on the record. Rather than just read it, I'm just going to do a voice roll call. My name is John Conklin. I'm the interim co-chair of the Funding Methodology Subcommittee. Also, taking a role, Rebecca Fleming.
Here.
Mark Cope.
Here.
Very good.
Here.
Leslie Holland. And Judge Holland did contact me this morning at last minute. An urgent matter came up in his court. And his attendance here today. I apologize for the informality as a judge. I'm just calling everybody by their non-judge name, so I don't mean to be disrespectful. Carolyn Cool.
Here.
Cynthia Lee. Judge Lee as well indicated that due to pressing matters in her court, she would not be able to attend. Sherry Carter.
Yeah.
Sam Hamrick.
Here.
Jeff Lewis.
Here.
Mike Planet.
Here.
Mike Roddy.
Here.
Mary Beth Todd.
Here.
Tanya.
Here.
And Chris Volkers.
Here.
Great. All the subcommittee members except for those noted are present. First on the agenda is a request to approve the minutes from the great. All right. You pointed out to me that there is no public comment that was submitted, so therefore no public comment to consider. And from JC staff, we have with us. All right. And that's JC staff that are present in the room. Colin, thank you very much for keeping me on track with those. So next, is there a motion to approve the minutes of the August 5th, 2015 meeting?
I'll move.
All right, Judge Good moves. Second?
I'll second.
All right, second from Judge Cope. All in favor of approving the minutes? Aye. Any opposed? Minutes are approved. All right, we have numerous items on the for action items this afternoon, and there has been a request due to the necessity of travel time built into this, and I do appreciate how compact this schedule is. So numerous members have asked that we sort of juggle these items around. They all will be considered. But what we're going to do now is move to item 7, which goes hand in hand with item 9.
Page 39,
which is item 9. Item 7 being a discussion item related to civil assessments in Waltham, and I'd ask that this be added to the agenda, recognizing, quite frankly, the impact that civil assessments have as related to Waltham, and this is a discussion item, and as co-chair of this group and chair of Trial Court Budget Advisory, what I've done is I've asked a judge and two members to court execs, that would be Judge Holland and Mike Roddy and Tanya, to take a role and drill down on this specific issue for this committee to consider. So this and I hesitate to call it a working group because I recognize that they will not, in fact, be making a firm recommendation. Their goal will be to gather information and to outline the issues to assist this subgroup in determining whether civil assessments should be included in equivalent available Waltham funding by the court. And their role will be as a we talked about earlier, a repository, but to reach out and to become what some of us in our course called SMEs or subject matter experts on this, recognizing that there are other experts out there. I haven't meant, obviously, to exclude or include anybody. I talked to Sherry Carter as we walked into the room, and I think we'd all recognize between Sherry and Chris, they're probably two of the best historians of this topic and individuals that will provide significant input on this issue. But the role of the judge and the two CEOs will be, again, to allow us to bring information to us, to outline the options, which is really yes or no, and the impact of those options and the decision on that as far as, again, whether civil assessment should be included in equivalent available Waltham funding by the court. So I'm trying to frame the issue as specifically as I can and the work of those individuals as they will assist this group in making the recommendation to Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. Judge Kuhl?
I have a question.
raise it under item one, which is the work plan. And under the work plan for the funding methodology subcommittee for 15-16 is the issue of evaluating the impact of civil assessments with regard to Waltham. And I just wonder whether that ought to be part of our work group plan, our web subcommittee plan, in light of what's going on with the Futures Commission, and even separate from the Futures Commission, Martin Hishino has made very clear that we are, as a branch, considering whether we should be funded based on fines and fees, and all of that is really, I think, on the table. And so I wonder whether it is really a good idea for us to think about taking civil assessments, which is the one kind of fines and fees that actually comes to the trial court, whether it makes sense to think about that and whether it should be put into Waltham or not in a context where civil assessments may disappear. If they disappear, it's going to affect the maintenance of effort amount, very complex issue. But it may, we don't know how it may complicate consideration of the larger issue of fines and fees for us to potentially build it into Waltham or not, as the case may be. And so the question I'm raising is whether we shouldn't just really table the issue for maybe at least 6 months to see where, by the beginning of next fiscal year, the branch is on that issue of fines and fees.
Okay, and I appreciate that from my perspective. That's why I decided to approach it in this somewhat informal fashion, rather than having an ad hoc working group of the subcommittee out with the perception of taking formal action. I'm just trying to keep us, I mean, I think you're right. In the broader perspective is, should our voice be heard on this issue? And I think we can't make that decision until we have, one, you're right, we need to be respectful of the work being done by other entities, but further, I think we need to have information behind that voice before we make the decision. So I don't think by at least having individuals within this gather the information, we're committed to take action. Does that make sense?
So what you're really suggesting is that there be sort of an informational report to this subcommittee about the shape of the problem?
I think that's probably a very good way to put it, and I wish I would have phrased it that way. I think that's a good perspective to have is, what's the shape of the problem? And we need to get information to determine that. Mike?
I think that's a good idea. I think it's important to keep it on track. I listened in for a few minutes yesterday on the hearing Senator Hertzberg's subcommittee talking about follow-up to this, and I know Corey was there, and Rick Feldstein, someone from CSAC, and there's a lot of discussion that could result in some legislative action, which would have a direct or indirect impact on the citizens, too. So we're going to have to get this information probably sooner rather than later anyway. So I like your suggestion that we move forward, collect the information, and then see what happens.
I thought Judge Kuhl's suggestion from a report perspective of providing a report to be considered as a good one. Judge Cope?
And I would also wonder whether it wouldn't be necessary as part of that collection of information to look into any other areas of fines and fees that were allocated between the courts and the counties during the transition from county funding to state funding of trial courts. In Riverside, at least, what happened with the civil assessments was part of a larger negotiation where some fees and fines were left with the county, some were left with the court, or they were just allocated in different ways. And if you go back and undo one part of those negotiations, then it seems to me appropriate to consider all the parts.
Thoughts?
I actually think Colin did a really good job at a meeting last year, taking almost an hour and a half to go through the historical process that led to this. This is actually, my understanding is, and Colin, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was a legislative offset to what the county felt was owed to them in various counties for the fines and fees they lost. And this was the deal that was cut. They authorized the courts to charge $300 instead of $250 for the civil assessment and said use the extra money to pay what would otherwise be state money that was owed to the counties as part of the division. Isn't that what the research showed in a nutshell?
Right. I mean, that was part of the agreement. It was a larger agreement. Part of that was because they were at a standstill. And so part was to raise the civil assessment from 50 to 300 and that the state would retain those lands. Because actually at the time they thought the civil assessment revenue wasn't going to be sufficient.
Yeah. So it was really a deal kind of cut at a high level because the counties were continuing to tabulate what they felt should be off just to the MOE when the split happened. And so there's a lot of historical background that is interesting as part of this whole makeup.
Okay. Any other thoughts on this discussion item? I appreciate the work that everybody's put in on this. And by gathering these three people, I don't mean to apply anybody else does not have a significant role in contributing to their information gathering and sort of narrowing or defining of the decision for this court. Judge Good?
I'm wondering if we take Judge Cope's suggestion a little bit more broadly, because we're not we replicating the Futures Commission or by some other JCC entity, because I know there's a lot of work being done around this now, and it's a little shortcutting the amount of work we have to do.
So I'm sorry, so from the suggestion of, Judge Cope was saying bring in fees and fines to it, and you're suggesting...
Well, I'm saying I know there's other parts of the branch that are working on it, these problems, and if somebody's already pulled all this information together, I don't know that we need to do it again. I just would suggest we try to piggyback on what work's already been done.
Well, who else? I mean, are they going to be looking at the implications?
Broader and take into consideration will some courts
See, restricted in the amount that they can collect.
I don't. I think that's the problem, is if you restrict it. That's my whole point. And I'll give you another specific example. Many courts don't believe in civil assessments because they want to issue warrants. It is in lieu of a warrant. So, you know, if we just look at that and we're not looking at the broader picture of what happens to the counties that only issue warrants, I just think we can't limit it to that.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that information collected somewhere? Do we already have that?
Uh-huh.
Where we know who is sort of either philosophically or fundamentally opposed for whatever reason and doesn't do that versus the ones who do, and then we can drill further into those that do?
Which is exactly what I think we need to complete this task. Yeah. We need to get that information.
Judicial Council staff has it because they return the money.
Yeah. All they would have would be the bottom line, the dollar amount.
They have the dollar amount.
Okay.
They don't.
Yeah.
But they would have a historical dollar amount.
Well, that gives you a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
That county is collecting none, then you know why.
Yeah, for information gathering purposes,
I would probably broaden and not restrict.
I would
restrict.
Too. I think
so
that's too restrictive.
When they do start to gather information and it, you know, it starts to kind of build a picture and come back.
All right, and I would, and there two of them are in the room, and that's what my request is going to be too. Is they take a broader perspective rather than a more narrow perspective. And I'm not saying somebody used the phrase can of worms. That's absolutely right. And I'm not saying we're going to be able to solve the can, but I think we have to, from the trial court budget advisory perspective, we have to be heard on this. And whether or not a decision is made elsewhere that we join in and agree, that's fine. But
could it be an informed comment?
Exactly, an informed comment. Yep.
So, Judge, they're charged then. Can you get rid of that word sole objective then? So it doesn't narrow it as much as it's.
Sure. Tell me where you're looking just a little
bit. Well, I got the agenda, item number 7. It says with the sole of.
And it's
okay.
Also on 7A.
That's right.
Also on the issue.
Okay.
Yeah,
fair enough. So assign, and I have assigned the three members to review civil assessments with the objective of determining whether civil assessments should be included in each court's equivalent available WAFM funding amount. Okay?
Or some other.
Well, by definition, it would be some other, or some other.
Yes, it's either yes or no.
It's either yes or no. Right. That's
or
cool.
Are they going to come back with a recommendation then, or is it kind of be an informational presentation?
It's an informational presentation.
Okay. Then I think probably a little bit of work spending here should be with the objective of determining whether it should be included, but sort of considering the implications if it was or if it wasn't.
With the objective of determining the implications of, how about that? Okay.
Okay.
All right. This is going to be an interesting, and I appreciate again the, I'm really encouraging, and I know I don't, people will share, but please be very broad with your information that you're providing.
And could I suggest that the co-chair could expand that if the working group came to you and said, hey, we would like to be able to comment on this because we think this is where the information is leading us.
Right, because there may be other issues that we don't even, broader implications that we don't even see. Sherry, what do you think?
I can tell you that it's a lot bigger than what the charge is, and there's a lot of, I have a file, this may not surprise you, Tanya, but I have a file I'd be happy to share with you on Collins research and research I did in Riverside. So.
And this may be one of those things that when we come all the way back around on it, it's absolutely different than it is today, but I think the only way we can get there is to start on it today.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I just don't think the charge should be limiting because
right.
There are going to be tangles you'll run into. That you should not say, ah, not our charge, right?
Right.
We're looking at the whole piece.
And this might surprise you, but that never, maybe that's why I'm going to do this, is because I am willing to gather that kind of information.
Good.
Because I think it's important for us to glean whatever we can get that is going to have, allow us to be able to be in a better position, to make decisions, to make recommendations, to do those things that we are, as a larger body, charged with.
Mary Beth, did you have a comment?
Well, I know Judge Fish has a sense.
Judge Good.
I have a question. It's a question of timing. Did you get a sense, Mike, from listening yesterday as to what time frame Hertzberg and anybody else has got legislation on the hopper is looking at right now?
I think they could be considering the package for this coming legislative session.
That's what I'm guessing. And So the question is how soon we gather our information, because it could be there's going to be activity in the legislature that we want to be able to.
When would that
be knowledgeable?
As far as the date goes, I think the next meeting, I think our next meeting, Colin, is what? We're calling
February.
February?
Oh, this Colin. We actually have a schedule for that event.
Yes.
I think my recollection also is that the LAO is supposed to be coming out with in January or something kind of as well. So
yeah, I mean this is a hot issue.
Right. And I'm going to ask them what information they can gather by February and make available for our February meeting, which we'll schedule. That's about 2 months out. I think that's as quick as we can be and also effective. Okay?
Yep.
All right, thank you all. I'm now going to turn.
You want to talk
about item 9? Sure, item 9. Colin has a. Colin, you want to address your handout on this?
Right. Actually, this is something that Sherry alluded to. This is just an informational item. So we're just providing this. This is based on a report that I provided, an oral report I provided in August about maintenance of effort obligations and the amounts changing over time. So after that report was given, it was requested a written report be provided. So this is the attempt at providing or meeting that request. So. Other than that, I'm really not providing any additional information.
All right.
So that it's for your review or your reference, but it's basically information that was previously provided orally to the group.
Sherry, is this what you had in mind when you talked about a report? Item 9.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No, I think actually that's what she was referring to when she talked about Colin's oral presentation.
Yes,
right.
Yes. Yes.
It was just follow-up.
This report.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all this is.
Yeah, he did a great job. So this is a good start.
Great.
Yeah, incredibly good research.
Excellent.
And there are hyperlinks in there to the reports that I referenced. Actually, if you want more detail, this is an overview. So if you actually want more detail, like we were just discussing about $250 to $300, I don't actually discuss that in the detail of this report because this is more focused on higher level activity related to it. It's in the reports that are linked.
Great work. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right. So now, jumping up to item 1. Yep. I'm going to turn it over to Rebecca.
Item 1, I'm going to have the group turn to actually page 1A and 1B. I'm looking for page number. I think they're right behind page 2. It's a summary of the 15, 16, 16, 17, and indefinite items on the work plan. Oh, page 3 and 4. Thank you. Mine doesn't come to page. okay, so what we wanted to take a look at is, number 1, the items that are noted in each fiscal year that we were charged with addressing to find out if anybody feels we should move those around. We actually do have a couple that we'd like to talk about. And then address the indefinite issues, see if we want to put a date to them, and anything that we don't have added on. So I'm just going to go down the list here. Fiscal year 15-16, identify technology funding streams. That activity is going on right now with JCTC. So is there anybody who feels that should be moved? Let me write that right there. Okay, the next one, joint working group with FAMJUV, that is the 1058 activity that just wrapped up with the coordinated group with the FAMJUV committee, and they have come to a recommendation that's going to be presented to the trial court budget advisory committee. That recommendation, in summary, was not to change the allocation method, but rather to recommend to the WAC committee to break out the 1058 statistics. Just cool, was there anything else that needs to be noted from that recommendation?
No, I think we'll present it when we have a January date. And one other thing we might do, just as a matter of courtesy, is let Justice Miller know our time, because I think technically the Judicial Council determination was that all of the constituent committees should wrap up their consideration by the end of December. So we'll be off of that a little bit.
So with that,
and again, that will come to us. So it's a joint recommendation, and Judge Kuhl and I have discussed this, and our perspective is it's simply a recommendation to each of the committees and Tarver Budget Advisor is one of those. So we will then make our own recommendation to the Judicial Council on that issue. I'm not saying we're going to disagree with it, but we will consider it as our own group to make a recommendation.
And just to clarify, Judge Kaplan is referring to me because I was the delegate from the trial court budget advisory committee to the joint committee on 1068, which also included WAC and CMG.
So is there anybody who feels that, should we leave it on there until we come to a recommendation by the trial court budget advisory committee that maybe address it? It's going to drop it off or close it out? Okay.
I don't want to get off topic with the farm committee, but it might have to do with what's on this plan and what's not, make sure it doesn't drop off. But did that committee address one of the issues we had brought up last year, we've been bringing it up for years, is the need for, notwithstanding not reallocating the money, but the courts that haven't spent all their money and we get down to the end of the year, reallocating any unspent money, did that get addressed?
Yes, I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that.
Okay.
The one operational issue that did get addressed was the mid-year reallocation process. And so that incorporated in an extra touch point with the courts and a granting of authority to the Judicial Council staff to reallocate those funds to the courts that needed them if a court wasn't going to use them. And so there was some change made to that structure, and I'm not describing it in full, but
the schedule, I think.
You're right.
So it has an end-of-year reconciliation where to redistribute.
Yes, and I believe it was going to be in February or March. It moved it up from the very last. At one point, it was
a problem.
It is. It's a little earlier, but it's not. It's never early enough to get something taken care of. But that was addressed. Okay, so then number three, civil assessments, we just spoke about that with this group that is going to take a look and come back with an informational report. Plans for fiscal year 18, 19, and beyond. Is that going to stay on for fiscal year 15, 16, or are we prepared to talk about what happens once the final year of implementation has happened?
That's a big job.
Are we prepared to take that on this fiscal year?
Don't we need to?
I believe that we should keep it on for this year, even though we know it may go over into next year as well. But I think if we take it off, then other people are going to weigh in on it, thinking that we're not, that it's on a back burner and not the front burner.
Or by taking it off, we're implying that, in fact, the decision's been made and there won't be any further beyond 18-19. And I don't think that's the message we want to send.
And I'm even more practical than that. I think that as we are starting to discuss it and if there are going to be changes, we need to give those courts time to adjust to whichever side of the spectrum they're on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think by putting it off another year would make it more difficult for courts who are going to have to adjust one way or the other in their planning. So I think that we need to start the work.
Okay, great.
But by keeping it on, we're not saying we're going to make a final decision this in 15, 16.
No, but start the work.
Exactly. Okay, good.
Okay, great. Then I'm going to keep going down the list, and I do have a couple of – oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was the only one who spoke over you. I apologize. But, you know, we don't have on this year's agenda or work plan the issue of Court Appointed Dependency Council, but we are working on that this year. And it's going to be coming back to this committee.
It wasn't this committee. It was the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee because this is the
Oh, I see. Got it.
So it'll go back to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee.
But I thought it would come back here before it went there, but it won't.
It'll go to the Budget Committee and then.
Just to the Budget Committee.
Right.
Got it. Never mind.
Yeah, okay, great.
Just as a point of information, that used to be on the work plan, but they felt that it, in a sense, as it relates to this subcommittee, had been addressed since they removed it from the working plan. So it's basically no longer an issue to be addressed for this subcommittee, it's to be addressed by another.
But okay, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But I can tell you, it's almost the exact same posture as the 1058 issue.
I'm going to be more optimistic. We are going to make that deadline. We're going to bring it home.
Oh, I didn't hear that we weren't making the other one, but okay.
Well, we'll make that deadline. I just don't know that we'll bring it home.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to bring it home too.
There you go.
Okay, great. So I'm going to continue to go through the existing plan, and then I do have a couple of things that I've been asked to address by members outside this, or by court members outside this group. Okay, so fiscal year 16-17, review self-help funding with the Access and Fairness Advisory Committee. Any change? We missed it? Okay. Number two, review 1058 revenue as an offset.
I would raise an issue. I think this with Access and Fairness Advisory Committee, and certainly they need to make a judgment about self-help as well. I'm thinking maybe we ought to reassess whether these joint committees, like we had for Dependency Council and like we had for 1058, are really working very well. It's kind of an awkward marriage, I may put it that way. So
maybe reword that to be with appropriate partners if necessary, or leave it silent.
Well, what's the focus here? Given Waltham, what is the focus of what that review is?
I mean, it's either in or it's out. As far as this group is concerned. So I don't know what we'd be talking to ask.
On what basis? On what basis should the funding be provided?
Okay.
Because yet again, the ones that we're looking at are all historical based, back to, 2003 or whatever point in time, and for Dependency Council it was 1999. So, it's looking at the historical based funding and saying, is there a better way to allocate, which I think belongs to the Trail Corp Budget Advisory Committee. And I don't know how it.
As someone who served on Access and Fairness for many, many, many years, I don't know that that committee would have the expertise to process this as a co-working committee. It seems to me we ought to process it. And then if the implications of what we recommend suggest that this be done, we send it over to them to comment. But I just don't think that their area of expertise includes how we allocate funding in this complicated way. It's just not part of their charge.
So rather than with, you'd review self-help funding and then?
I think we send it to whatever advisory committees we think ought to weigh in on.
Okay, so we're going to take that off and leave that silent, yes?
Just review self-help funding.
Yes.
Take out the parentheses. Okay.
Okay.
Would that be review self-help funding allocation?
Yeah.
Not just the funding overall, but how it's divided out.
Okay. Yes.
Which is really related to three, because the idea was to ask Judicial Council to go and then look to see if there are any other allocation funds that are based on, especially those that are based on historical. I think we've got them now at Dependency Council and 1058 and self-help, but there might be others. I just don't know.
So does... You're right, that kind of is a duplication there. Should we lump that in under number three and maybe just have that be a sub of one of the funds that we look at?
Well, has Judicial Council had a chance? Well, I guess not because it's not next year, but we should ask them to do a review of all the other funding allocations to see if they're historical based or on what basis they're allocated.
So maybe we move number one under number three?
You could say review and identify all funding sources, including self-help, and determine allocation models.
I think the idea, if I recall correctly, was that we know that self-help is allocated primarily on the basis of historical, and so we wanted to look at that as we were at Dependency and 1058. I think the idea number three was to say, gee, are there any others that we're missing?
Yeah. Okay.
Self-help is allocated strictly based on population at a point in time. I think it was 2003,
four. So we'll leave it as one and three for now. Okay. And just have it say review self-help funding allocation.
Does three include, in effect, one-time grant money? Or that wasn't intended to be there, was it?
No, I don't think so, but it could if you think it should.
Well, I don't know. I was thinking it probably shouldn't, but I'm just trying. I don't know if we need to reach that definition.
I think the way it would be done is there'd be a presentation of, okay, here are things we haven't thought about, and maybe grant funding is something that, a particular type of grant funding, and we say, okay, that's a grant funded program, we really don't need to look at that.
Unless it's a perpetual
grant funded, but on the basis of historical information, maybe we should.
Rebecca's going to
Well, as a matter of fact, under item six, we're going to be talking about that a little bit. And grants, as an example, are a category, and there are several grant funds in there that I asked Colin, let's address it from a global perspective first. Do we want to treat them all the same, or do we want to break it down by that type of grant, whether it's one time or a few years or whatever it is? So that actually, we're going to start covering that in item six, and that may be a, too big of a conversation for today, but we thought we'd start down that path, and certainly if we have to go over into February or into more conversation on it, we can. But that's exactly what we have to do. And some of those grants are one time or a point in time, meaning a couple of years in nature. So. Okay, so then number two, review 1058 revenue as an offset.
Sorry.
Yes.
I wanted to make sure I understood. So how are, is one just being revised by removing the reference to the other advisory committee?
Yeah, it's just going to say review self-help funding allocation.
Okay, so it's not being rolled into three?
No.
Okay, just want to make sure. All right.
Number two, review 1058 revenue as an offset. Okay. Number three, stays as is. And number four, review operating expenses and equipment, OE&E calculation, and other WAFM components to determine handling of inflation, modification, and refresh cycle. So that is one section that we did bring some information back to you today, because there's actually been some of the refresh that's been going on all along, but the memorialization of a regular schedule is not there. It wasn't part of the original Judicial Council approval, and so we do have a presentation for you. Things that can be done on a regular basis. We're proposing a schedule, and we're asking you to take a look at the frequency in terms of how volatile the numbers get, whether we want to smooth them over like a three-year cycle or not. So Colin will go over those when we get to them. So I'd like to ask you to maybe we'll table that one as far as whether we want to address it this year once you see the materials and if we need to continue and have more of it on next year. Okay, so then indefinite. Evaluate impact of JCC and other provided services.
I think that we should do that. That's been something that Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee has looked at several times because there are free services and services to some courts. And so when we're talking about creating a funding methodology that's equitable to all trial courts, workload is part of it, but if you get some services free, that does impact the equality of the amount of available discretionary funds. So I don't, you know, I could give you examples, but I don't think it's necessary. I think it's something worth looking at.
So you think we should keep it on our work plan under indefinite?
Well, I'm not sure about indefinite. I think it's something that we should look at. I think the branch should look at it, and I think Martin is looking
that's,
at it.
That's
right?
Why I'm thinking maybe we keep it at least for now under indefinite because it is being looked at. But we can later on make a decision to advance it.
But does it make sense to maybe identify another kind of informal group that would at least be able to start to take a look at it from our, you know, the Budget Advisory Committee's perspective to be able to be responsive to Martin as he starts to look at it? You know, he's going to be looking at it more from, it sounds like, you know, service demand perspective versus kind of the funding perspective, but I think they will cross over.
Do you think this ties in at all with what R&E is doing?
So
do we let them continue?
Well, that's why it's interesting because I know that it's been very important over on the budget side, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm here because we're dealing with now RAS, and I guess an example would be courts that are receiving free services. You still have built into your workload that you're doing it, but you're getting it for free, plus you're not paying for it. So it's kind of like a budget piece and a RAS piece. So I don't really know how best, you know, you put them together.
I would suggest I leave it.
I didn't understand.
Okay, so if you are, and I'm making this up, Court Z has Judicial Council staff do a certain function for them, and they're not paying for it. Included in RAS is that work, so they're getting credit through RAS to do the work, but they're not doing the work, and they're getting the service for free, but they're not paying for it, so they're also getting, so it's like...
Window washing. Just
yeah.
To be just a real, so they're, in their RAS model, is window washing,
but
really,
they're not doing it.
They're not doing window washing.
They're not paying for it.
Right.
So they're getting credit in RAS, and they are not paying for it, so it's like a twofer.
Double dip.
Yeah. So, you know, our needs.
So, let's use another.
Right.
Some of us have general counsel, some of us don't. Some of us rely to lesser or greater extents on LSO for work there. Is legal, our general counsel staff included in the RAS formula?
Well, that's why I think, right,
yeah.
I think R&E, right.
So
Program 90 staff would be,
yeah.
So it could just be.
So Program 90 would be like legal research,
right.
Attorneys,
right.
As opposed to litigation management related,
yeah.
Or payroll.
General counsel.
Or payroll. There's some HR.
There's a lot of HR.
Like, yeah.
And it isn't just small court. So, you know, it isn't just a small court issue. There's little different pieces all over, and so I don't know.
Well, I'm wondering if this really does start with R&E in that you would identify those services that don't charge the court, period. I mean, that are not reimbursed back. Wouldn't you start with that?
It seems to me that you probably would because of what we're trying to do. And again, since Martin has got consultants, I think, looking at this, you know, I don't think we should get in his way but compliment what he is doing to the extent he wants us to. And so, one of the things we learned in our listening session was that they are looking at the services they provide, and I would think that one of the things that I would want to do if I was Martin is to find out how often I do it and for which courts I do it and start attaching it. You know, we have cost centers in our court for everything everybody does so that we can run and tell you how much it costs and how many staff FTE go into each individual cost center. And I think the Judicial Council should do that.
Judge Good, did you have a comment?
Yeah, do we have a sense as to how many dollars are at issue with respect to each of these? You know, I'd hate to be spending a lot of time dealing with a small dollar issue when there's some large dollar issue out there that really is going to be a bigger driver. And I'm listening to the conversation, and I don't have a good sense as to how much money is involved with these other provided services. You know, how big a ticket item it is. You know, it feels like there's a bunch of money out there. I don't know how that compares, for example, to the all funding services term allocation models, which would flip something for our work plan.
So my suggestion would be we leave this on indefinite for the reasons that we've already talked about. Work's being done. I don't think we take it off a work plan in general. I think we leave it on indefinite. We allow for that other work to get completed, and then we can move it up as we need to or address it. We could take it off indefinite, put it 16-17 if we want to.
And
yeah.
That builds into its good question
right.
During that process.
Right, because quite frankly, I don't think that there's extra money sitting out there. I think what it does is it redistributes where you are on the list in terms of your funding need, because the expenses that are being incurred are on Sherry's revenue and expenditure list.
Do you want to also maybe, Judge Conklin, have a conversation with Mark about whether we could be helpful on this? Because I'm really trying to get a handle on it.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about a recommendation coming forward that
yeah,
we're trying to turn it top secret,
right.
And we aren't
we want
to ready
him.
To, yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
so,
you know, maybe he can define a project in here where the expertise of the collective courts are helpful. I mean, one of the things we've been good at since Waltham is reaching some good compromises where we're very aware of who's getting hurt and how much, or who's being helped and how much, and yet we can come together on something.
How we can help each other through these things, right.
Right.
So that's a great suggestion. I'll reach out to him, and we'll put it back on the February agenda for a follow-up. How's that?
That's great.
Okay.
Good. Okay. How to include unfunded cost of courthouse construction. Leave it indefinite.
What does it mean?
I think these were items that were funded. Well, I can't even tell you. I'm not even going to guess.
I think that is what it was talking about.
FF&E.
The cost of opening the courthouse.
How is that? I guess what's connected to the funding methodology?
And how are factors in?
It's not covered by the courthouse construction fund budget for.
Is that something that's been excluded from Waltham? You know, like I did notice on one of the other items there were some line items we'll be looking at that have facility-related costs. And, you know, the reality is, even though the facilities themselves are funded, you know, the courts have to interact with the people who are building those facilities for us and do the planning piece, and there's an expense to that.
Well, and then the complication I see is, and having a building coming up,
Some of those are one-time in nature.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Some of those might be recurring and ongoing in nature. And then at that point, how does that fit into the WAFM? There's no place in WAFM for cost of new cork ownership. So, I mean, it's a very difficult question. But
and you need to be able to reserve for that, but now you can't.
Right.
Yeah. I don't see where that even comes into play in a WAFM model. Now, we're just about to move into a new courthouse. We had to save for one-time costs and then ongoing costs. For a budget that normally is about $8 million, we found that there was about $280,000 that we weren't funded for out of courthouse construction fund in any way, that we had to just bank. But it doesn't fall into a stream that should be a WAFM. One time should not be. That should be something that's done just for courts on that one-time basis if there's any funding that can come from the branch. But ongoing, I just see it as sort of
arguably some of the older courthouses may be even more expensive to run.
Would be
and more. We've never, once that I can recall, and Wacom had a conversation about, Program 65, cost of court ownership. So, I mean, are we opening up something here that we can't really address?
So do we just take it off the indefinite plan?
Let me ask Leah Chlansky a question with respect to any facility-related costs, facility planners, things like that. Are those included in WAFM under the Program 90, or are they totally pulled out? Because I think that's where some of this would come in. But
Colin's probably going to know more. I think not. I mean, the only facilities-related people I recall paying in 90 would be some janitorial.
So it's Rule 10A10. Rule 10A10 allowable facilities costs, like the furniture, those items, as well as your facility resources, like you're talking about the janitorial. Those costs, utilities, those things are included. So the relates to like capital outlay. No, capital outlay is not included.
Right. I mean, I can understand for Jeff and I, we have small courts. We aren't going to do another capital project for a long time. But a larger court like Los Angeles or San Bernardino probably has some sort of a project in the hopper at all times, and they have to have staff who assist in the design and planning of all
you
of that.
You should have space planners, when you're dealing with this.
So the question is, where is that falling within or within Rule 10? I think it does because it's more the operations side of it.
Right.
But
I'm actually referring to the OED part of it. As it relates to like personnel staffing costs, those wouldn't be part of the case processing related activities. So as it relates to the RAD and the PE, they wouldn't be captured on that end either. So
they're not in Program 90.
So they're not in Program
90. So what are courts supposed to be doing to fund this very important function? I mean, we have to live and work in facilities, and we have to interact and provide input on that process.
Can Mike Flanagan and Judge Cope
prioritize your Program 90 budget?
Mike?
I don't see how you take courthouse construction is just one example of a capital project. What about case management systems? Mm-hmm. You need to bring on staff and expertise to bring those up. There's a whole variety of capital related kind of programs. And WAFM is not designed for that, and I don't think it's equipped.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is where you have it with enough consistency that it is full time. You always have
Judge Cope, did you ever
certain services you have to provide.
The item that we're on is not the substance of the issue, but the discussion leads me to believe that there's a substance that should be discussed. So I just think we should keep it on
the government. Sharing a joke on it.
Well, I was just going to say, I suggested this before, and I think it's more to the Child Protection Advisor Committee, so I'll address you that way. I think the federal system does it a lot better. They actually provide funding based on square footage that you can use for cyclical replacement and things like that, and they do give you some credit for space planning and facility management and things like that. So whether or not I'm not really sure it belongs here, but it's paint and carpet will never be funded ever with our money with the state because it's a priority five. It's just never going to get there. So should we carve out a little bit of money and give it to courts so that they can invest in their infrastructure? That's a policy decision for the Child Protection Advisory Committee. Probably doesn't belong here, but whether or not we should give some credit in WAFM based on square footage, because just like small courts may have a floor problem, I think large courts do have a facility maintenance problem that grows when you have a lot of square footage.
right, then I would suggest, I think Judge Cope's suggestion is a good one. We leave it on indefinite. We don't make it any more definite than indefinite, and leave it on indefinite so we're not eliminating it from consideration. But on indefinite, it's moving towards going off the list rather than being advanced. But we'll leave it on indefinite for now. Any objections to that? Okay.
Okay. And the last one, refresh and clarify county maintenance of effort. We think that was directly connected to civil assessments, but
yeah,
if anybody feels otherwise, so then shall we remove it and assume it's part of civil assessments and the connection with that?
Yep.
Okay, great.
Well, as long as that's not just limited to civil assessments, otherwise it's
like relationship. Well, yes.
MOE.
So do we want to leave MOE on there as?
Well, we can do both. We can leave it on indefinite, but also consider it as part of the civil assessment issue.
I think it was there as a reference because it's connected, but even when we look at the other funding sources and what have you, it's going to be connected. And so I don't know if it needs its own number, because we're not talking about the county MOEs themselves. It's really a reference.
The impact,
the resulting effect, exactly. So, yes.
I think this goes to the point that Judge Cope made before, which is if you start peeling back the civil assessments, and they were part of a larger negotiation, you can't just look at that without looking at everything else.
Right.
Now you're into looking at the maintenance of effort question, too, to understand the whole package, it seems to me. And surely when the legislature takes this up, they're going to be looking at both sides of the deal. So we need to get smart about this real quick if we're going to have any influence
in
what goes on.
Okay, so we'll put on maintenance of effort as part of the civil assessment. The question is, do we leave it also as an item on the indefinite, or is it, I think we can take it off, because by implication it's considered in all of these decisions. So I think we just take it off of an indefinite because it's now very definite. Okay, we take it off. Any objection to taking it off the indefinite list? Okay, it's off.
Okay, so then, so I'm going to review what changes we made just so we can adopt a new work plan.
Before we do that, Rebecca, can I ask a question? Uh-huh. Are there any other, before we finalize it, are there any other areas that are not on a schedule for a refresh like the OE&E that we're talking about?
Judge Cope?
Oh,
I'm sorry. That's a separate question from the one I thought she was going to ask.
Oh.
Okay, we'll stick with Sherry's question.
Well, wait, his question, if it's smarter, was the one I meant to ask.
Well, the answer to yours, I don't think we've missed anything on the refresh. However, there are some items that are brand new to go on the plan, and I thought I'd take those separately. So
yeah, but I mean to look at something, is there anything else that we need to add to our plan?
As a matter of fact, the funding floor is not on here, and we probably should put a date to that as well, but we do not have that as part of the presentation today on the things that we move
forward.
So
maybe 16-17, is there some urgency, or, you know, I don't know, is there any?
I think it appears that some of what we will refresh over time will start to affect the funding force. So 16-17 would probably be a good target.
Okay, so we'll add that on as a funding floor for 16-17. Okay.
Okay, so this is, Judge Cope, did you have a comment before?
Well, I was going to ask, our earlier discussion was that special circumstance cases don't fit into RAS for various reasons, but that there might be other ways that we should be looking at to consider how those extra costs should be assisted. And it seems to me that that's an appropriate item for our work plan.
And do you have a proposed fiscal year?
Well, I would think last year, but whatever works into the schedule would be appropriate.
They were pretty heavy on 15-16 right now. But
yeah.
Maybe 16-17 or 17-18. Do we start a 17-18 section?
That's cool.
Maybe what makes sense is to wait until we have the results of the current RAS study and then take a look at that in terms of whether it makes sense to think about.
So are you suggesting we put it on indefinite, so at least it's a placeholder, so to speak, and then we can always take it off if we need to once we get that information in?
I would suggest 16-17.
I
concur
with that. I think it is one of those areas that has an impact on those courts that are having to deal with that, and it's in the moment. It is not, you know.
Well, and as Sherry said earlier, it also has an impact on those courts that will never deal with it. So
right. Well, if we have, yeah, but I'm really was speaking more to the looking for alternative
funding to
funding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
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 Judge Cole, what do you think, 16-17?
No.
16-17 and 16-17, there's some overlap in there. That's not an unworkable schedule right there.
Okay.
And I will
we had a funding request from a court that has an exceptional spike in homicide cases, and it's causing them a real problem. And it was like, where do they go for this? There were some that felt maybe it really wasn't an emergency, and others, they didn't feel it really fell under homicide, and there was a big hole. There is a gap there. We need to look at that.
Okay, so I've added it for fiscal year 16-17. And then the only other one that was new that I had a request to address with this group was new judges funding. So this is specific to the complement that comes with a new appointment that is to cover staff. The RAS model actually is covering your needs from the filing standpoint, so that funding is coming through and mucking up the system a little bit. And so I would actually suggest 15-16 if everybody thinks we could attack it. But
we should.
Anybody feel it's too much for us for this year?
If there's a bill. I think it's important because I just know last year there were some discussions going on, you know, as far as the number of judgeships to ask for and the amount of money to put with that, and depending on where you sat with RAS or, I mean, WAFM, that may or may not have worked for you if you were looking at one of those judgeships. So I think it's the more we can help inform that process.
Okay.
All right. Remaining optimistic, it might happen this year. So, okay.
Well, yeah.
All right. Let us to 15-16.
Yes. So, any other?
I'm sorry, Judge Good.
I just had a question because I hear Rebecca saying anything. Does this include the parking lot list? Are there
yes.
other things on the parking
lot? These are the parking lot.
Is that the end of them? Will we have then worked through the entire list of parking lot issues?
I think most of – I'm going to have to go back to previous materials to make sure we haven't missed anything, but I think we've captured most of them.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so let me review what I have here to make sure that we've captured it all. So in 15-16, we number 1, 2, and 3 remain the same. Number 4 remains the same. We are adding new judges funding for number 5. Then fiscal year 16-17, number 1 is being reworded to say review self-help funding allocation. Number 2 and 3 stay. Number 4 stays for now, pending a later item this meeting. And we're adding for 16-17 special circumstance cases. And on the indefinite list, we are leaving number 1 and 2 and dropping number 3.
All right, any further comment? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. That's acceptable. Okay, we're going to move on to the other items. They have shorter timetables, and we have about, half an hour of time left with most people in the room. So item 2, walk-in component update. Who's that?
So that starts on page 5, and they'll be on page 5 for your materials. So basically just to give you a quick summary of what this is. There are three items these are just the walking components and their update schedules. And there are two parts of this. One is that there are five items, there are five walking components that are currently updated on an annual basis. And this is based on informal schedule, so no formal schedule set. So we're basically asking this subcommittee to formally approve that update, that refresh schedule. In addition, we have one WAFM component that has not been updated since WAFM was introduced in 13-14, and that's the operating centers and equipment per FTE component. So you'll see on attachment 2B a listing of actually seven components. One of those components, the last one, number 7, we're not asking you to look at today. That's funding for it. The first 5 are the ones that are currently already being updated. And if you are looking at that, the reference materials sheet that I talked about before on attachment 10A, you'll see where these are located on that WAFM funding needs worksheet. So item 1, the average core executive officer salary, that's updated annually. That's based on 7A information. You'll see that in column E. Number 2, the BLS, that is updated annually. As Leo referenced earlier, so based on 3-year average, based on the Bureau of Labor Statistics information.
and that is column G, as well as you would see the information in the BLS factor worksheet. That's also in your reference materials. The salary-driven and non-salary-driven benefits, I referred to these before. These are pulled from the court civil schedule 7As, and it's columns I-1, I-2, J-1, and J-2 of that while complying in your worksheet. AB 1058 adjustment, that is updated annually currently. That's based on reimbursement data from 2 years prior, because that's the first full complete year of information that we can use, so that's why it's 2 years instead of the prior year. That's column O. The average RAS-related salary, again, based on court 7A, and you'll see that that's actually in the bottom left corner of the second page of the Walking Cutting Need worksheet. Then that's currently not updated, that we are providing you with options on attachment 2C, is the average operating expenses and equipment per FTE by cluster. And that's based on QFS information. So right now, currently, the OE numbers are based on the court's 11-12 QFS data. So we're asking for the 16-17 cycle to for the subcommittee to select an option and approve that option for updating the that WAF component. And that you would see on column 10 in the WAF planning worksheet. So if you look at attachment 2C, you'll see we have four options. But really, it's just two options with each one with a variation. The first option is 1A and 1B. It's basically just asking, are we going to update this annually using 1 year worth of data, or are you going to update it annually based on 3 years worth of data? And then 2A and 2B are saying, are you going to update it every 2 or 3 years? And then, but again, based on, is it 1 year's worth of data, QFS data, or a 3 year average of QFS data? And we provide the pros and cons related to that. But basically, 1A and 2A would be the most consistent with the current methodology, because when they did do it initially for 13-14, they just used a single year's worth of data. They did not use multiple years worth of data. That does not necessarily mean that that's what you should choose to do. That is just to be aware of.
So can I ask a question, Paul? I'm sorry, I didn't read all of it. Maybe it's in there. With respect to 14, 15, 13, 14, whenever it was we had to spend all of our fund balance, the year that we had to, you know, bring it down to zero, the year prior to that, I'm sure that we saw a spike in OE&E. Does this take into account those spikes in some way of leveling that, or?
Well, a one-year average. Obviously, that would not take into account.
Well, I mean, even if we're in this time period with a 2 or 3 year average, was it contemplated that we would need to address that, or it's just 2 to 3 year average, notwithstanding that?
No, I mean, I think that's a consideration. So, I mean, I think if we are concerned about spikes in the OE&E, then I think that is something you would want to consider, a 3 year average instead of using 1 year average. I would say that 11-12 does not relate to the court's sending down their fund balance, so it wouldn't relate necessarily to that specific activity. But as it relates to if you're concerned about spiking the activity, then yes, you may want to use 3 years of data. The one problem and con with using 3 years worth of data is then your information is not as current because you're going to have to go back 3 years.
I would just put a comment. You can see the spike.
You can.
Yes. And so that's one of the reasons to consider a multi-year moving.
I want to keep this as simple as possible. If we're using the three-year average in other areas, we ought to stick to the same formula. To have, you know, pick and choose and cherry pick which one kind of works to our advantage undercuts, I think, the long-term stability and support and accountability of the model, and make it consistent for staff so they know the rules are the same in all these categories, the same basic process.
And I second that motion.
Point of information on that, just so you know. It's actually pretty equal on each side. So as it relates to like salaries and benefits, they use the most recent year's worth of the most recent year's information. They do not use a 3 year average. It's only in other areas that they do use that 3 year average, such as in the VLS. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So I was gonna say just to add to what Mike was saying too, and to speak to Mary Beth, talk about spikes, you know, there's always gonna be a spike. You know, if you have a new case management system that, you know, several courts buy into one particular thing, you're going to have a spike that particular year, and you're going to, you know, if you
well,
have...
Well, isolated, but I mean, I think we have to say that...
It was significant.
The elimination of a fund balance probably...
I want to stay formal, but there's been a motion. It's motions and seconded. So the motion specifically is...
Three-year average.
And it's been seconded?
Updated annually. Do you need that as well?
Updated
yes,
annually.
Yes, that's the other component, yeah.
Okay. So I didn't want to cut off any discussion. That just a motion was made and seconded, so we've got to consider that. Any other comments on the motion?
Can I ask one quick question on my motion? Did you say that you needed committee endorsement for this annual update process in the other five categories?
Yes.
So then my motion would be that we adopt the annual update requirement for the items 1 through 5 on page 6, item 2B, and that with respect to item 6, that it be done as they updated annually based on a three-year rolling average.
Everybody have that? I'm sorry.
I have a question.
And that's 1B.
To the motion, you're only talking about these issues, not moving the ones that are a single most current year into a three-year.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay. Any other discussion on the motion? All right. All in.
I accept the motion as amended.
Okay. The motion has been moved, seconded, amended, adopted. I'm trying to follow. Judge Earl did this so well. Any further discussion, Judge Good?
I have a question, and maybe we don't know the answer. How, apart from the spikes, how much did the data move so that if you use a three-year average, you really kind of way out of date? I have no idea whether it moves that much over a period of 3 years or not.
If you look at page 8, it actually shows you the difference in the calculation of the one-year and the three-year average.
And it's a three-year average being considered every year, right?
Yes.
Right.
It would just be a rolling three-year average. Yeah.
And so your option, the options being considered right now is option 1B?
That's right.
Okay.
So it's significant.
It is.
Yep.
We know what underlying that, why there's such a significant
spikes.
I actually referenced that in the report itself. It's actually related to 1213, I believe, if I remember correctly. 1213. For some reason, the ONE for FDA for 1213 is significantly lower than 1314 and 1315.
That was when we had to spend down.
At the end of 1314 is when we actually did the cap reduction based on your 1314 ending fund balance. Because we've done reductions in 1415 and 1516. Led to the 1% cap.
Wouldn't 1213 be because everybody was out of money? You didn't have money to spend.
Well, the thing about 1213, so it's not related to the fund balance, it's related to the reduction. So in 1213, the reason,
right.
This is the reason
right.
Why it's a $385 million reduction applied to the court. And
you didn't have money?
Exactly. So, I mean, so we know the reasons why, but there is that's the issue. So, I mean, if you want to go with that is the thing to be aware of, and that's why we wanted to show you the calculations and also explain that we are aware of
spike.
That difference. We know, where it's coming from.
So that's such an unusual spike. Hopefully it won't. Yeah. So, call. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Yeah. Aye.
Any opposed? In favor? Of what you said? All right. So, that passes. So that's item two.
Item three.
Who has this?
Colin. So this item is actually much simpler. This one is there are three expenditure items that were actually identified in the original report to the Judicial Council for 1314 in April of 2013 that were identified both as included and excluded from the WAFM OE&E calculation. So all that we're asking, what we're asking the subcommittee to do today is to clarify whether those items are included individually, whether each item is included or excluded. And what we've provided is, attachment 3B just shows you the attachments to the report, just showing you that, in fact, it works really both ways. But if you actually look at 3C, we provide provide you with what the intended Waltham OE&E designation was per some informal meeting notes that I was able to get from, they're either from Jake or from Alan Carlson. And so based on their notes, what the intent was, but also comparing them to similar items that are in that category and whether those were included or excluded. So that way you have a sense of whether or not they should be identified as included or excluded. So 3C is just for your reference, and then 3D basically just tells you what the calculation, what the impact would be on the OE&E calculation compared to what was just decided under item 2.
So, John, in going back to the original Waltham, and I don't mean to turn this into, like, you know, going back to the Constitution, because we can change things, right?
Constitution's still a good document,
yeah,
as far as I know.
But the only, I reviewed these yesterday, and the only one that I saw that didn't fit the methodology of excluding things for which you get reimbursed for was grand jury, because grand jury is typically a county reimbursable cost, whereas facility planning is a direct court cost. Air conditioning, heating would be a direct court cost. Court reporter services has a, I don't know why that would be excluded. They have their own, anyway. The grand jury costs would be the only ones that we should exclude, that on page
16?
Yes, page 13 show that they're included.
Page 15 shows they're included.
So
attachment 3B is just,
really?
Just that portion of the usual council report.
Okay.
And so I highlighted those items because you'll see it both on the excluded grouping,
yeah,
and the excluded grouping. They're all highlighted in yellow. They're both there. So it's just first to show you, hey, here's the problem. Problem is that they were both identified as included and excluded.
They should be.
And,
oh,
then 3C says,
I know why.
Yeah.
Please clarify, you know. So.
For the staff work that's in RAS, that's a court work related to grand jury that deals with the recruitment and impoundment, that's different than the county cost related.
Grand jury.
Right. So that's why there's an include and exclude. Is it depends on which part of that workload you're looking at, because the courts have the statutory duty of doing the recruitment and impoundling, whereas the county has the responsibility of managing the grand jury.
Once it's impaneled,
right,
it rolls to them. But
right,
we have to,
and then we get reimbursed, or it's, you know, we don't even deal with them depending on the county. So that's why it's an include-exclude.
So then on 3C, Colin summarized the line items that are, that he wanted clarification on. So is there any kind of a feeling for the committee, we leave them as is, we include, we exclude? So the line items are in purple that are noted as both.
Can we redefine, I mean, because Sherry makes a good point, is,
yeah,
there a way to redefine grand jury so we include and exclude? I mean, it, for instance,
jury impoundment,
yeah, is there further breakout costs?
Right.
Yeah, jury impoundment costs.
Right.
Jury,
right.
Criminal grand jury versus civil grand jury?
So we can't.
But wouldn't it be stored in reimbursable grand jury costs versus unreimbursed?
Yeah. I think it would.
There was only one. So we actually, and I actually on the reference materials, I actually provided the full listing of every single general ledger item, expenditure item, and identified whether or not they were included, excluded, included by default, because they actually mentioned if they don't reference it, that's just,
yeah,
included by default. And that's in your reference materials, and it's like 50 pages. But the only item that I saw for grand jury was this one.
I see. Yep.
And it's not a lot of money, so that has to be, I don't know what that would be.
So aside from the grand jury, is there any other items that there's a feeling that there was a reasoning behind the exclude and the include?
I can tell you why. Because on the facility operations, the state does most of the work except for those things that the court does locally. So in other words, they really, this group that was assigned, this Jake and Alan, they really did try to identify those things that should be measured as part of the RAS. and those that are either reimbursed or not our responsibility. So I think that was the reason they're both in include-exclude. I don't have a solution, but I know what the methodology is.
So they're hybrids. They're really neither.
They were.
Right.
Because we're not responsible for building maintenance. That's what judicial council staff is for. Or if you're a delegated court, you get money for it, and you still shouldn't get counted. But there are still pieces that we deal with in terms of entering them in CAFA, monitoring the work. Right.
So if it's all
so
or nothing.
It's a split again.
If it's all or nothing, is there one of the decisions that's more advantageous to the trial courts?
Yes. Or is there another direction we go by going back and looking at Phoenix to see how much further we can define this?
Well, you can revisit it. You could come back and decide not to make a decision now. So that's an option as well.
I guess the question to me
but,
is, what's the circumstance under which they're paying for the facility-related costs? If it's because there's nobody else to do it, then that's the cost of doing business that should be captured. If it's because they save the money and they're doing something separate and special, then you know, it's really hard to say.
I think what Colin is saying, though, is it's part of the OE&E, and he's not sure to include or exclude because the original group said do both. And I was trying to tell you why the decision was made because I was there, but I don't know how to separate it between what should be included as an OE&E and what should not.
So we want to have to defer to February and see if Colin can drill down into Phoenix
yeah.
and see.
Okay. I don't know if we can or not.
We do provide comparable items, so we can come back to this, but I just want to make one note, and that is now 3C. What I was doing there as well was I was providing comparable items that relate, that are in that category, and how they referenced and how those were designated. So those are all the ones that are in white. So you'll see, so for maintenance on air conditioning or heating, you'll notice that they're all included.
Yes.
Right?
Well.
So it's just, and again, that's not for your reference, that's not telling you anything. That's just another point of information.
So the conversation would, if I'm hearing it correctly, is to bring it back with perhaps some other solutions for breaking the two pieces of those each individual items out, one which would be the court's responsibility, one which we don't want to count.
I see what you're saying, Colin. You're thinking that there may be some inconsistencies by looking at the white compared to the purple. I think that's what you're saying. But when you look at the white, those are things that courts have the local discretion to do. And air conditioning and heating would be harder for a court to do except for manage. They don't have the authority to go out and hire an HVAC guy unless you have delegated authority because the costs are too high. Whereas the other white ones, we can do small pieces of them.
Unless you have a judge saying, get it done.
Let's pick my third
really
now right now.
The other ones fall below the definition that
facilities
maintenance will handle.
Right, exactly.
So except air conditioning units is integral to the operation of the building, which is a state asset, and that's where they typically draw the line.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
well, and that's why I'm just providing you with information. I'm actually telling you that it's clearly something or not.
So maybe put it over and see if we can break it out further.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I'm just telling you why. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if you can
Well, no, this history is important, because, and I think we should be able to break it out into the two different categories. I mean, it may not be that we can go back in history and identify it, but going forward, we should be.
So in the interest of time, let's do that, because we're getting close, and I just want to be able to, if we can address the other items. We'll defer item 3 to our February meeting.
Okay. And for part of that discussion, I'm talking as quickly as I can you tell us how many courts, because if it's just certain kinds of courts, like I'm wondering if they're the delegated courts?
I don't have the number of courts.
Okay, that would be helpful to me to understand.
And just so you're aware, so this will come back in February. So,
right.
There's no real implication here because we can always build in whatever decisions made in February. So 4A. So 4A is basically identifying expenditure general ledger items that either there was no expense in 11-12, and so they actually did not consider any items that there was no expense. They didn't actually even look at or consider those expenditure items. In addition, since then, there have been some additional general ledger items that have been created that some we are seeing expenditures in, some are not. And so we want to ask the subcommittee to decide decide on whether or not these should be included in the calculation. Now, if the committee chooses not to make a explicit decision related to this, then they'll just automatically, by default, be included in the OE calculation. So just be aware of that. You're not required to identify these items. By default, they're included. However, to remove any kind of confusion as it relates to these items, it would be useful to explicitly define.
This might be a too general a question, but if they were all by default included, how substantial does that impact? Is this a lot of...
And again, that is covered under, so you'll see that the calculation. I mean, the impact is that right now, the OE for FTE, the calculation I provided to you already includes them. So the only thing that changes is if you choose to exclude the items, then the number decreases.
And we just stick with it.
And so the scenario that I provided to you only excluded, and I mentioned this in here, it only excludes three of the items in here, and that's because of that they appeared to be the ones that were the most, at least most clearly, non-OE or non-WAFA OE related items. And those were, I don't remember all this off the top of my head. Okay, one is perimeter security. Okay, that's one. Dependency council charges reimbursed by JDCCP allocations. That's the second one. So the first one, the perimeter security, the reason why that one in that option was being included was because all the other security items were included. The JDCCP one was included because that is actually funded from its own specific revenue source based on statute.
Right.
And then the third, OPEB administrator fee, was excluded under the option because it was because the other OPEB item, the main OPEB item, was already explicitly excluded by the subcommittee. So you can choose to review any of these items and come back and decide maybe February if you'd like. Again, we still have plenty of time to build this into often, but it's something for your consideration.
Thoughts, Sherry?
So it seems to me, because I went through the list, and under the principles of there either being a dedicated funding source like dependency council or the county responsibility like security costs, if you use that principle, I think you can almost group them.
Mike?
Well, I, except for the line 303, the perimeter security.
Yeah.
For a number of us, that's our cost. That's not a county security cost. That comes out of the sheriff's budget.
Comes out of our budget.
So my recommendation is to include that.
Because when you did the transfer to sheriff funding, they asked us what we were going to still pay for out of our budget. Yeah. That's perimeter security.
Okay.
And well, court attendance, by the way, for some of us.
Yeah.
That's really entrance screening. That's, when you say perimeter screening, that's the sheriff's department. That's coming out of our security budget to pay that.
Not in my account.
No.
Oh.
But security altogether is not in Waltham, correct?
Right.
No. Right. So these are should be.
You're saying keep them in OE&E because you're paying for them as a legitimate expense. And that's a really interesting question that they, again, looked at a snapshot and said who paid for court attendance and who didn't.
Yeah.
So some who didn't claim it and still pay for it are not getting reimbursed for it or not including it. And again, it's one of those things where if we're talking about equity of funding, we should look at the whole security piece.
Right. Because even if we include it, it's not going to give Chris the money she needs. It's just going to spread that money over
among 58 people.
Yeah.
Right.
So do we want to bring it back or do we want to just exclude it?
And there is a security BCP just so you
know. Right. We have separate working last year that worked on it.
That's right.
Remember?
That's a separate funding issue.
So
and it's not entry. It's not in the
That's right.
So if it's included, then, for example, if there's 10 courts that could pay for perimeter screening out of their budget, that gets put into the WAFA pie?
Right now it's included in the OE&E.
Well, that's helpful.
Because when it was approved by the Judicial Council, anything that didn't have expenses or has been existing, the default was designated to be included.
But then isn't the security funding that's coming to the court being backed out? So you're putting it in and then you're pulling it out.
No,
so that one is all.
So all the other items were excluded. It's just this item. There weren't any expenditures in 11-12. So they didn't even look at excluding this item because there were no expenditures.
Uh-huh.
And so now in 14-15, 2015, there are about $2 million of expenses.
So do we want to come back on the security issue and exclude all the others, or come back on everything?
Well, how sure are you about that $2 million number? Because
it's right there.
I know. I mean, that's, of course, statewide, because mine's a million something just for San Bernardino.
But
are you employees or contractors?
Contractors.
This is from this specific GL. So I
yeah, someone might not be quoting it right, though.
That could be right.
Because there's no way. Mine's a million seven or something.
I mean, they could be
only one pony.
Mine's
they could be coding it against 504.
Oh, 504.
And that's excluded.
Well, given that, we should probably come back on.
Yeah. So
if we were to identify the ones to come back on, are there some that you feel could be designated included or excluded?
So line 178, we should include that in the security. We talked about 303. 393 is dependency council. I think it should be excluded.
So hold on, let's do these a little slower so Rebecca can get it. So 178, you want to come back on because that's
part of the security.
Thank you. So your next one?
303, we've talked about. 393, I think, should be excluded because it's dependency council, which has its own budget. The 450 looks like it's security as well.
Okay.
527 looks like it's part of the collections, which is an offset expense from your collections. I don't know what they're charging that for, the 527, because, you know, you
can... I can tell you.
Okay.
It's Merced. Right now, it's basically Merced. They're paying for the service related to the construction costs.
To their what?
Construction
costs. Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's not debt service, meaning collections. It's...
No. It's debt service payment.
So should we bring back up so we have to...
Yeah.
So
is that where Santa Clara is going to go when they go into their new courthouse? Because they're going to
I don't know if they'll use that GL. I think I'll say.
Okay.
Wait, Terry, back up. 432.
Yeah.
Did you get it?
Oh, yeah. So 432 and then 430, 431 and 433, you wonder why, right?
I'm sorry, 433?
I don't see that.
Terry's 10 steps ahead of us here. Okay,
we see 432, contracted services.
And they go all the way to the bottom, 430, 431, 433.
Oh,
they're
I see.
All no public defender, conflict of interest. So I wondered why they were not a county expense.
Yeah, right. They should be
a county expense. So I would exclude those two. And what about page two?
Hold on. So we're excluding
432, 430, 431, and 433.
Yeah, the same on the next page, 438 through 432, right?
That isn't the question. If somehow somebody winds up having one of these expenses, because right now it says nothing. There's no expenditure for one of those. But for some of them, there are.
Yeah.
So do you want to exclude them? You just want to include them and know that they're zero.
What I don't want to do is, in the interest of time, make a decision that's not...
So bring us back with more information, I guess, on those, because I don't know why they would be county expense, right?
Yeah, right. I don't know under what authority we have to pay them.
We don't.
Okay. So they should be getting reimbursed somewhere. I mean, I can understand the court might have paid them, but then they get reimbursed or something.
Yeah.
And if we leave them included and somebody utilizes it, we don't look at that now.
Right.
We're
going to
open up.
So the ones that we're going to come back with to consider excluding are 178, 303, 393, 432, 450, 527, 430, 431, 433, 438, 39, 40, and 42. Did I miss any? And anything that Colin Stevens related to security or county or attorney costs. Not legal
or
attorney, but...
Okay, so the remaining, are we including? We're leaving included.
And taking out that word default.
Correct.
Correct. They're going to be designated included.
That was going to be my question.
So are we going to do a motion?
Sure, was that your...
Was that your motion, Sherry?
That was my motion. You said it so well.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Thank you.
Judge Cope, was that your just clarification?
Yeah,
okay.
Yes. I just wanted to be clear that by not excluding it, we're intending to include it, so it's no longer a default situation.
Okay, so we're about to lose
explicitly addressed it.
We're about to lose a significant, well, quite a few people, and we haven't covered item 5 or item 6 yet. Do we still have a quorum?
Can I give you one question? Well, Judge Cole is going to be a very important person when we
leave. Except that we were so in the weeds. For the CEOs.
Oh, you don't think the judge.
You know what? How about if we just, I, yeah, and I try to be very efficient with time, and sometimes that efficiency comes at the expense of effectiveness. So one is just to defer these to the February meeting. If we're losing a substantial number of people now, is there a reason we need to decide this before February? Who is leaving?
We could wait till they leave and then vote to take away their vote.
I'll second that.
So both mics are leaving?
I've got a few more minutes. I'm going to get my shuttle.
You're going to take your shuttle. I was going to be a shuttle.
Okay.
He's got a better ride. I think they're better offer.
So we want to keep working?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Okay. Item 5.
And just quickly,
and thank you very much for those of you that are leaving. Thank you very much for so far.
Make a rapture?
No, I did. Yeah.
Actually, you need to turn off the recording first.